Here. Good to have Reese back with us. Just such a special blessing. Reese was telling us in the prayer room, and we've all been there, you know, when you're out of church for any length of time, if you're used to going to church and you're out of church because of sickness or what have you, whatever might be going on, boy, you start to miss it something fierce. And people don't understand that you can you still hear me back there, Annie? Okay. It changed up here, so I don't know what it sounds like out there. But you can get so used to church that when you're not able to go because you're sick or what have you, then you can start missing it something fierce. So good to have Debbie back with us this morning. I believe this is Linda's cousin and Joanne's niece. Did I get that right? Okay. And, of course, always good to have Bill with us. Ray and Geraldine are back. The Rudds. I thought they were going to be out of town, but they're with us today. They're always out of town. He's always traveling somewhere. So I'm glad that they're here this morning. And, of course, there's Kevin and Sally. Sally, right? Okay. Good to have them the past two or three weeks. And this is Jerry and Susanna Wills.
Willis.
Okay. Got it mostly right. Good to have you guys this morning. I'm so glad that you're here. You're such a blessing to me here in Grace Walk. And in our studies, we are up to Genesis chapter 46. So if you have your Bible, would you take that and turn to Genesis 46? Now, I made the statement two or three weeks ago that all from Genesis chapter 12 all the way up to chapter 50, those chapters are primarily involved with the lives of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And Abraham has 12 chapters in all of that, and Joseph has chapters from chapters 37 to 45. Isaac's got about 3 chapters, and Jacob's got about 9. And there's even one in there on Esau. But this week, I was thinking about this, and I don't think there's any mistake to this. There's no wonder why this is, but the men who have the most number of chapters in Genesis about them are the men who eventually learned how to trust the Lord. There's a lot to say there. They didn't get there overnight. They struggled with that, as we do too. A verse comes to mind, which is, you don't have to turn there, but Job 13, verse 15 says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." What a great phrase that is. But the rest of that verse says, "But I will maintain mine own ways before him." So not only should Dwayne and Georgina and Jerry, not only should we trust the Lord, but we should maintain our ways before him. And that's what Jacob had to eventually learn to do. We come to chapter 46 and we see Jacob in the prime of his life, in the later years of his life, and no doubt probably a time when, you know, he should have been taking it easy and settling down. But he had a full life. And he had a full life. His younger years were filled with much work. And of course, Jacob, you know his life. He was a planner, a designer, sort of a schemer, trying to use others to get what he wanted. And here at the end of his life, he's been around the block. He's got some experience, as we all do. And here in this part of his life, Jacob has realized what it was like to be on the receiving end of the same kind of treatment that he gave to others. You remember, he worked for Laban. And we know that he experienced with Laban what he was used to dishing out to other people. By this time in his life, he's lost a son for 22 years. Now, we know he's not actually lost him for good because it's Joseph. But his sons were deceptive with him about that as they sold their brother off into slavery, them telling their father that he had died. And so he's gone through so many, many things. And they say that experience is a wonderful thing because it allows you to recognize a mistake when you make it again. Well, he's made a few. And by the time Jacob gets to this part of his life, he has made a few. Let's start reading in verse number 1, and we're going to see a couple of things about where he is. "And Israel took his journey with all that he had," now Israel's Jacob, "and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. We're all seniors in here, and so we can somewhat understand where Jacob is in his life. You've been on the receiving end of things in your family that haven't been pleasant, haven't you, everybody? Sure we have. And yet Jacob, at this point in his life, is about to make this huge move from Canaan to Egypt. That's a big deal. When you're as old as he is, he's 130 years, that's a big deal. But I want to just get your mind into one train of thought, and that is, although Jacob has been a schemer and a designer and a planner, and so much of what he did in his earlier life did not please the Lord, at this point in his life, he makes a decision to do the right thing. And it's in verse number one. It's in verse number one. Now, Beersheba is a place that the family knows something about. If you remember way back in chapter, I believe it was maybe 15 or 16, Abraham went to Beersheba and he made an offering unto the Lord. And then we get down to Abraham's son, Isaac. And Isaac did the same thing. He planted a grove. He planted some trees and dedicated it to the Lord. And the family came back to God at Beersheba, the place where Jacob's ladder happened. You remember that story about Jacob having the dream? And that happened down the road from Beersheba. So although Jacob has been around the block and he's done a lot of wrong things, at this point in his life, he's doing one of the best things that you or I could ever do. It says, he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. Can I just camp out here for just a minute, because this is important. And I know I'm preaching to the choir in many ways, but I want to camp out here for just a second and talk about the place where we go to meet God. The place where we go to meet God. Now, we can meet God on our own at home, studying His Word on our knees. You understand that, don't you? But another place that we meet Him is here. And this place that is here is on the receiving end of in a lot of places, in a lot of towns, churches are drying up. In a lot of places, you can't find a good place to go to church anymore. So in our world, in our culture as a whole, things are changing, is it not? I think Jacob realized that it was so important to, at this point in his life as a senior, to get back to the house of God. You know what? It's important for me and you to stay in the house of God. It's important for me and you as seniors. I'm a grandpa. I can finally call myself a senior. It's important for us to grab our family, grab our niece and our cousin and our daughter and our son, and bring them into the house of God. We live in a crazy world with so many distractions. And it's important that we as seniors keep that in mind. Now, once again, I'm singing to the choir. I'm preaching to the choir, rather. You know this, but let's not forget it. There seems to be a whole awful lot of forgetting this day and age. So let's not let that be with us. So let's read number two. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. I love that. I'm here, God. What do you want to do? What do you want me to do? What do you have for me today? Notice that God spoke to Jacob in verse number 2, but it was all because Jacob put himself where he needed to be in verse number 1. We go to the Lord and we don't know, you know, we read through the Bible every year, or we do most of those years, and we come to church, and we come to Sunday school, and we come to all the services that we can if we're not working and what have you. But one of the reasons we do that is so we can be in the right place for God to speak to us. We have a deal that we pray every morning in the prayer room on Sunday morning, and that's we pray for a pastor, don't we? God, we don't know what Brother Chris has prepared this morning, what he's studied, what you've laid upon his heart. But we pray, God, when we come in here that there would be no distractions. We pray, God, that when we come in here that we would be encouraged and convicted by whatever it is that he's bringing to us. Hey, isn't it such a privilege to be in a place where we know we can hear God's word? I would have had no idea 30 or 40 years ago that that would be such an uncommon thing. We don't visit much anymore. We go to church here. But even as we travel, as we go on vacations, we visit churches, and that's becoming more of an uncommon thing, is for people to even bring their Bible to church. For preachers to actually preach the Word of God in its entirety. So this is a great place to be, and we should be here. And we should understand that when we come to this place, we expect God to talk to us, to listen, to communicate with us. What a great privilege that is. And I know I spent a lot of time on that, but I tell you what, you know what? The whole wonderful thing about the book of Genesis is how God deals with his people. He loves people. He loves people. And although Abraham and Jacob and Joseph and Isaac, although they weren't there overnight, they weren't perfect when God first called them, they eventually got to a point in their life where they served the Lord and they loved the Lord. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Okay, let's continue. And he said in verse number 3, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down to Egypt, for I will make of thee a great nation. How many times have we heard that in the past 46 chapters? God telling his people, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a great nation. And your blessings are going to be as the sand of the sea or the stars of the sky. And he's still saying that. He's still telling Jacob that. He's renewing his covenant with his people. In verse 4 says, I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Now that's just an assurance for Jacob. You know, it was a custom that day for a loved family member to close the eyes of the one that had just passed away. And so we know that that actually happens here in the next chapter or so. But this is such a sharp contrast, this assurance that God is giving Jacob. Hey, Jacob, I'm gonna take you to Egypt, and I'm going to bless you, and I will make sure that you're buried back with your fathers, back in the land of Canaan. And it's such a stark change to where Jacob was back in chapter 37. He was on quite the pity party. You remember that when Simeon was held hostage? He was held hostage in Egypt, and the boys went back and they told Jacob what had happened. What did Jacob say? He says, for I will go down into the grave and to my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Jacob, at that point in his life, didn't really trust the Lord. He wasn't at a present point in his life where he trusted God, that God knew what was best for him. He had been through so much, and yet with the changes and with the famine coming on and him sending his sons off to Egypt to try to get food, he just didn't trust at that point. But he's at a point in his life now where God is telling him, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take you to Egypt. I'm going to bring you back to Canaan when you die, and Joseph shall put his hand upon your eyes. And you know what I like about these verses 3 and 4? Even though Jacob has been kind of a, I won't say pessimistic guy. He's sort of a pessimistic guy. If you look at his life, he's not a real positive guy. But when God speaks to Jacob, he's very positive. Look what he says in verse 3. "For I will there make of thee a great nation." I'm going to do this, Jacob. Look in verse 4. "I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again." See, although Jacob may have tended to be a pessimist in his life, God was giving him some pretty good positives, wasn't he? Taking care of him, because that's what God does. He takes care of his people. And verse 5 says, "And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, and their little ones and their wives, and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him." Before we go on, put this in your mind. This is going to be their new home for the next 430 years. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. This is a big change in their life. So they take their cattle and their goods and they get into Egypt. And verse 7 says, "His sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt." Now there's a lot of names in this chapter, and we're not going to read each of those names because we don't have a lot of time. From verses 8 to verse 25 is just a whole lot of names. We're going to jump to verse 26 for time's sake. Read what it says. "All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66." That's 66 people, okay? But it's not counting Jacob, not counting Joseph, and Joseph's two sons that were born unto him. "And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. That's a total of 70 right there. "And he sent Judah before him and to Joseph to direct his face into Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen." Now, Judah went because, if you remember, Reuben had committed the sin of incest. And although he was the firstborn, he's not the leader anymore. Sin has a price to pay, and it had a price to pay in Reuben's life. So they go to Egypt, and he sent his son down to grab Joseph and show us where to go. Verse 29 says, "And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while." Well, yeah, wouldn't you? Oh, man. Can you imagine Jacob right now? Been without his son 22 years. Thought he was dead. What a wonderful surprise he's got. But along with this, let's get both sides of the coin here. Along with this is the realization, Brother Stacy, that his other sons were the ones that lied to him. First of all, they lowered him into the pit. Remember, then they sold him off to the Midianite merchant men, can't even say it. And then he was sold to Potiphar, and then, of course, a lot of things happened to him. But at this point in time, Jacob has this wonderful news that his son is alive, and not only is he alive, he's second in command in Egypt. He's the governor of Egypt. And then it dawns on him when he hears the story. My other sons did that. Do you reckon at this point in time, you know, he's 130, so, you know, let's put our heads in Jacob's head for just a minute. Do you think that the designer that Jacob was, the planner that Jacob was, when he realized he's on this high of realizing that his son is alive and that he's governor of Egypt, but then he realizes what his sons have done and lied all this time about Joseph. Do you think something might have clicked in his head Do you think maybe he might have talked to the Lord a little bit and says, well, Lord, you're the only one I can trust in my life. Everybody else fails me. And I don't want to read too much into that situation, but isn't that the case? In our life, we have loved ones, and we have friends, and we have co-workers and neighbors. But they, just like us, are human. And they have the capability of hurting you. But God's not like that. We trust the Lord, we trust God with our heart because He's not going to hurt us in return. And so Jacob here is finding all this out. He's in a wonderful spot. He says in verse 30, and Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Joseph, I can die a happy man now. I know you're alive, you're doing well. I'm ready to go. Of course, he doesn't go now. He lives another 17 years. But he's ready to. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brother and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are coming to me. Now, you know, Joseph was the second guy in charge. And he could have done this anyway. You know, Pharaoh's the one who told him to do this, to give his family, his father, the land of Goshen. But look at the kind of man Joseph is. He's honorable. I love this about him. He's respectful. He's the perfect steward or perfect employee. Think about where he's been. In Potiphar's house, in prison, he rose to the top. And now he's with Pharaoh, and what's he done? He's risen to the top. What a great example for us on the subject of honor. As a child of God, we should not only be spiritual and righteous and holy, but we should be honorable and respectful in our dealings with other people. I love this about Joseph. And so he goes and he makes plans to let Pharaoh know what's going on, even though Pharaoh already knows what's going on. He decides to do it anyway. And he says, and the men are shepherds for their trade, in verse number 32, hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even up until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. We see two things in these verses, and we saw one last week: God's providence, His sovereignty in taking the family to Goshen. It was out of the way. It wasn't going to be messed with. There was not going to be much of a mixture of the Egyptian culture and the Hebrew culture. God was watching out for them. But we also see Joseph in his wisdom, Joseph in his discretion, making sure that Pharaoh knew. It helped him keep these two civilizations apart, if you will, these two cultures apart. And so they go to the land of Goshen, and I've got just a few minutes left, but I want to take you back up to verse number 3 and say a few things. Go back up to verse number 3. The Lord says, and he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Okay, so 70 people went to Egypt. And they stay there 430 years, right? Okay. After 215 years, you know how many people they had in the family? 180,000. Do you think God is doing what He said He's going to do? I think God did for Jacob what we have such a problem with trusting God, don't we? Just admit it. We do. We've been in church, some of us, all of our life. We've read God's Word, and yet when God asks us to do something sometimes, we just don't really know about that. How do we distrust the Lord? Well, we make exceptions, don't we? We make exceptions. 3 weeks ago, we talked about forgiveness and how important it is for us to forgive. And yet sometimes we keep grudges because we really don't want to forgive. Sometimes we have problems with trust in the Lord. And I think it's one of those things that we're going to carry to the grave because we're human. Because we've got these bodies of flesh, and sometimes we get up of the morning, and although we want to serve the Lord and we have the best of intentions to read His Word and get on our knees, sometimes it just doesn't happen, does it? We've got so many distractions. We've got so many things begging for our attention. And in Jacob's case, he is at the last years of his life, and God's going to prove. Now, Jacob's not going to see it all, but his family will. His family will see that God made good on His promises. Oh, aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that we can trust in the Lord and we don't have to trust in our president? Aren't you glad, and no matter who the president is, aren't you glad that we can trust God and we don't have to rely on our employer? That's temporary for some. And all too often, people get disappointed in their employment. They get disappointed in their government. They get disappointed in their medical care. Brother Ray was telling me just a few minutes ago of a big setback that he had to deal with this week. Hey, look, we come down to the end, our senior years. It's most important for us to trust the Lord with our whole heart. We can get in trouble if we don't. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father, we pray that You would help us to see the example of Jacob and Joseph.